RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show. It is Tuesday, May 28th, 2019, getting into the week here, day after Memorial Day. And we have got lots to talk about today. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Sam is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, and opinions. So let's get right on into it. I don't know what it is about holidays like Memorial Day or Labor Day where people feel that they can go out and have a lot of alcohol and drive around town. We saw a lot of accidents here on Oahu over the weekend here. Apparently over in Chicago, at least 32 people were shot, five fatally, over the Memorial Day weekend, including five who were shot in a single incident on the near west side. So I don't know what's going on here, but that's really not a good way to celebrate Memorial Day here. Joe Biden apparently was missing in action Memorial Day. He didn't take part in any of the events honoring America's fallen soldiers. And, you know, considering that he's, you know, considered the top 2020 Democrat, he didn't schedule any events. And apparently his last campaign event was in Philadelphia last Saturday. So a lot of people are scratching their heads about that one. You know, where was Joe about that one? Now, if you're in Ohio and Indiana, keep an eye out that window. There have been major tornadoes there. 5 million people are without power. And apparently this line of tornadoes crossed Indiana and Ohio last night so close together that one crossed through the path of another, and towns outside of Dayton, Ohio were the hardest hit. The damage is described as catastrophic, and apparently a large and dangerous tornado hit near Trotwood, Ohio, 8 miles northwest of Dayton. Several apartment buildings were damaged or destroyed. So in Indiana, at least 75 homes were damaged in Pendleton and the nearby community of Huntsville and Madison County. Emergency management spokesman Todd Harrison, no serious injuries reported in the area or in other areas of the state. So it's a rowdy weather time here, so keep your eyes outside those windows. And Fox News right now is even showing Arkansas and Oklahoma brace for historic flooding. Boy, what a rough time. You'd almost think that somebody up there doesn't really like the United States, possibly because of all the warmongering that we're doing on other countries. Over the weekend, the European Union had their elections, and the elections were, as many people expected, to be a dramatic upheaval. It's being described as the most dramatic upheaval in European politics in 40 years, meaning it's the most dramatic upheaval since the first European Parliament elections 40 years ago. And there was a surge of support for the far right, for the nationalists, for the populists, also for the Greens. And it's really shaken a lot of people up. And Europe's traditional powerhouses, supporters of mainstream parties, got a bruising defeat, and they're trying to consider what their future is going to be. Now, more than 400 million Europeans and 28 member states, including Brexiting Britain, have been asked to cast a vote for a renewed five-year term for the European Union's only directly elected body, the European Parliament. Remember, the European Council is not elected. So over in Germany, their governing parties were dealt their worst results for 70 years, with Chancellor Angela Merkel's center-right Union Bloc taking just 28% of the vote, down from 35% 5 years ago, and their Social Democrat allies receiving just 15%, down from 27% in 2014. In France, Macron has faced calls to dissolve parliament after the far right stormed to victory in the European Parliament elections. The results did not trigger a national crisis, a government spokesman said, and Prime Minister Edouard Philippe has all the confidence of the president, blah, 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 blah. So this was clearly a day of reckoning between pro-European and anti-European forces, between those who want greater integration and those who want to go back to being sovereign nation states. And the election results tell the story of a much more fragmented European Union, where mainstream parties on both the left and the right are losing the confidence of voters, a trend that reflects European national politics over the last few years. Nationalist parties took home impressive results in Italy, France, Belgium, Hungary, and Poland. The result was mixed for nationalists in other countries. Okay, we're going to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. We're talking about the European election results over the weekend here. And basically, commentators are saying that the EU election results show people are fed up with this fake democracy that has ruled the EU for these many years. And these anti-establishment forces had major gains in the EU elections because voters are tired of parties refusing to challenge Brussels. So the Eurosceptic parties made considerable gains in the elections, leaving the bloc's establishment parties battered and searching for answers. So it was a major upset, which was interesting because over the weekend, the corporate media, especially the European media, was saying, oh, it's going to be, you know, the traditional parties are going to win. They're going to do really good. Then as it got later in the day, well, yeah, the anti-establishment parties are, you know, they're doing a little bit better. But when the votes were all counted, yeah, the nationalists did score a major, major victory. Okay, Nigel Farage is very happy today. He's warning that he will obliterate the Tories as leadership rivals Boris Johnson and Michael Gove scramble over Brexit. The six-week-old Brexit Party won 29 MEP seats. That is a stunning, stunning victory for Nigel Farage here. And getting back over to France, French President Emmanuel Macron suffered a defeat to Marine Le Pen's nationalist movement in Sunday's European parliamentary elections. Macron's Republic on the Move had 21.9% of the vote, compared with 24.1% for the anti-European National Rally, with 90% of the ballots counted. The Greens rose to third place with 13.1%. The Conservative Republicans got 8%, Socialists 6.4%. In the last EU vote in 2014, Le Pen beat the Conservatives by 4 percentage points, with Macron's Socialist predecessor, Francois Hollande, trailing in third. So this is a setback for Macron in his battle for legitimacy as he tries to persuade the rest of the European Union to pursue tighter integration. Clearly, the results of this election, the European people do not want tighter integration. They want their freedom. They want to go back to being sovereign nations. Now, Marine Le Pen, the leader of the National Rally Party in France, is calling on Macron to resign the presidency and said he is not honest or bold enough to recognize his worldview has been defeated. Now, Marine Le Pen noted that David Cameron stepped down as prime minister when the British people voted to leave the EU back in 2016. And in 2019, Le Pen noted Prime Minister Theresa May announced her plans to resign after the Brexit Party defeated her party and all others in the UK's European Parliament election. So this is a seismic shift in the politics of Europe. So, article coming out of The Guardian, the European Union election signaled troubled times, and Le Monde is saying the extreme right comes first in France, Italy, and the UK. Le Figaro says Macron sets up duel with Le Pen after the president's group won 22.5% compared with Le Pen's 23.5% in France. It was a narrow defeat for Macron, but it was still a defeat. Sudeste Zeitung leads its e-paper with the headline, Greens are second biggest party for the first time in Germany, while looking at the losses for the center-right CDU and the socialist SPDs. So these parties are facing troubled times. Yes, they are. Why? They stopped listening to their own voters. They stopped listening to the will of the people. They were listening to the globalists. They were listening to the New World Order people. And now they are paying the price for it. All right. Hungary, after their huge election win, has vowed to continue to fight EU mass migration. And Budapest is saying after the country's governing Fidesz party won the victory in the European Parliament elections on Sunday, they ran on a platform of countering the mass migration. Prime Minister Viktor Orban, whose party won a record 52% of the vote, said that the government would do everything it could to represent the will of the Hungarian people, who he said had trusted Fidesz to bring change to Brussels and support a Europe of nations rather than a bureaucrat-run EU super state. So this is definitely the beginning of the pushback. The outcome of the elections, which saw the left-wing Democratic coalition place second with just 16%, also underlined Hungarians' desire to protect Christian culture and to halt mass migration to the bloc. So the people of Europe have definitely spoken, and the politicians better listen. Now, over in Germany, there were historic losses for Germany's two governing parties. The Green Party had a huge win. They didn't win, but they had a huge surge. And this is putting Angela Merkel's coalition under extreme stress as to whether she can continue. Now, Angela Merkel had said that she was going to step down. Now she's unretiring. She's changed her mind. Basically, last year, Merkel had vowed to step down and hand over leadership of the Christian Democratic Union to Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer. But apparently, Merkel has now changed her mind, saying that Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer is simply not up to the job. So it's a little bit of a spark going on over there. Could spark a rerun of last year's leadership campaign to find an alternative candidate. So Merkel is going to stay in power until 2021, despite her promises to the contrary. Over at the EU in Brussels, Jean-Claude Juncker could stay on as the EU chief well into next year after the European election result sparked a bitter battle over who will replace him. And Brussels top civil servant Martin Selmayr suggested the commission boss may need to have his mandate extended with big implications for Britain. So he is not going to step down. They're talking about stretching his term in office. Okay. All right. Let's turn to the war zones here. Article out of Al Jazeera. Is the U.S. media beating the drums of war on Iran? Yeah, of course they are. We're all seeing it. Ooh, Iran is bad. Iran is bad. They're terrible people. You should hate them. We have these, you know, hyped up headlines, anonymous sources, unspecified threats. You know, Iran is now back in the news here in the United States of America. And it wouldn't be the first time the U.S. media, wittingly or unwittingly, and I'm going to go with wittingly here, have made the case for war on the basis of vague, anonymously sourced intelligence. In 2003, it was Iraq and Saddam's nuclear weapons. In 2019, it's Iran and their nuclear weapons program, which doesn't actually exist. So, yeah, they're banging the drum out there. Now, the New York Times has come on out with a story accusing Iran of having a nuclear weapons program. But Iran does not have the intent to make nuclear weapons. It has no nuclear weapons program. It never did. The inspectors who went on in, you know, from the United Nations, went on in and said, no, there's no nuclear weapons program here. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Joe in Tennessee, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I see I'm watching Fox News here, and they got Michael Avenatti on. And it's just an indication of this whole weekend with the European elections, how they're being ignored by our corporate CIA-controlled globalist media. I mean, the European elections were stunning. They were basically the Trump effect. I mean, Trump sent Bannon over there, and I think he's done very good work organizing the populist nationalists. I mean, I have two words, austerity and immigration. That's it. The whole globalist world, New World Order, is being destroyed because of those two pillars, austerity created by the central banks and immigration created by the Satanist cabal that wants to destroy and get rid of white people and white European Christian culture. So I'm just so ecstatic by this, but it is really interesting to watch how the mainstream corporate CIA-controlled globalist media is just totally ignoring the European elections. And part of that is because it's such a great triumph for the President Trump. I mean, you know, first it was Brexit, then there was Trump's election. I mean, look, Brazil went nationalist populist, Australia's national populist, India has just gone that. What do they have left, like, for globalism now? Germany? You know, so I just think it's a wonderful time for my side, because I've called before and said I'm a proud white nationalist, and I have, you know, and it's just great to see it flowering throughout the world. And hopefully they can do something now about immigration. I mean, I don't want the Nazi-type way to deal with it, but I do want to see people deported back to their countries of origin, in particular if they haven't assimilated. And certain religions don't seem to be able to assimilate here in this country. Once again, I just think this is a wonderful time. I think that this is just showing how Trump, with the tapping into national populism, has made a wonderful decision, and he's a great leader for it, because he really, no matter what you say about Trump, he's not a typical Republican that just rolls over. He's a fighter, you know, and that's what we need. I'd like to mention one other thing that Congressman Brad Sherman was on talking about Bitcoin and what a threat it is to our power as a nation. And I thought that was really interesting to see, you know, a congressman talk about something. Well, a lot of people say Bitcoin's a scam and all that. And I don't know if Bitcoin, but I do think that there is a future for cryptocurrency. I think crypto will have a big part to play in the coming, you know, years. And to see a congressman talk about it, and especially a socialist, globalist, New World Order style Democrat, tells me that the libertarian nationalist populist probably should get on the crypto bandwagon and support it, because it is a threat to the central banks, and the central banks are the enemy. They are a big part of the enemy that we fight, the people behind the wars. As you say, all wars are banker wars. So I think that it's time, although I've always been a big gold and silver man, I think that to see guys like Brad Sherman scared of cryptos, you know, maybe we should get on that side of supporting them as in a libertarian way to take away power from the corrupt central banks.
I would definitely agree. Anyway, Joe, I got to cut you off here and say goodbye. We got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And again, RBN does need your support. And the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity, cash, is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation or pledge to be a recurring subscriber is 800-724-2719, extension 1 during business hours, extension 3 at all other times. The network thanks you. And, of course, you can donate to whatreallyhappened.com over at the website. There's a little button up there on the right-hand side that you can click, and we certainly appreciate all those who've been donating and all those who are going to donate. So getting on back to Iran, Donald Trump, when he was over there in Japan, made the claim the U.S. is not seeking regime change in Iran. And Trump basically came on out and said that they just want to make a deal with Tehran with the same leadership. And I don't know. I think probably Bolton has something to say about that. But it's clear at this point that Trump is not enthusiastic about yet another war, especially against a formidable adversary like Iran. Because, yes, ultimately the United States would win. It would be costly. Now, Turkey has launched a cross-border operation into Iraq against the Kurdish militants in a mountainous region in the north of the country. And apparently, Turkey unleashed a barrage of artillery fire and airstrikes yesterday before ground forces entered northern Iraq to demolish the caves and shelters that are being used by terrorist groups and to eliminate the terrorists, which is a reference to the outlawed PKK. No word from Iraq how they feel about this invasion of their sovereign territory. Now, Russia has invited Afghan officials and the Taliban to attend a two-day meeting in Moscow. And the meeting will mark the 100th anniversary of diplomatic relations between Russia and Afghanistan. So Putin is trying to calm things down there as well. Taliban spokesman Zabihullah Mujahid said a 14-member delegation was heading to Moscow, led by Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, the group's top political leader. So maybe Putin is going to be able to calm things down there. Story coming out of Russia today. It recently came on out that the RAND Corporation, which is this well-known think tank, very large, has been working on plans on how to destabilize and bring down Russia. And obviously, Russia is very concerned that we're going back to the old Cold War mindset. And apparently, the latest briefing from RAND, it's 12 pages, it's just cold and calculating creepiness how the United States could lay waste to Russia. And a lot of people are concerned that the U.S. may actually try and implement the plan. A lot of people are concerned that the U.S. could try and implement the plan and stumble, fall down. If you look at how poorly the U.S. has been doing in Afghanistan, in Syria, in Iraq, yeah, we're not ready to go up against Russia. We really, really are not. Okay, apparently Israel carried out a rocket attack in Syria's Golan Heights, and apparently the missile targeted Tel el-Shaar in Quneitra, and they blew up a military vehicle. Some people were wounded. Israel's military is confirming the attack in a statement posted on social media and said that the attack was in retaliation for anti-aircraft fire directed at an Israeli fighter jet earlier yesterday. And it said the projectile missed the jet during a routine flight in Israel, and the plane completed its journey before the Israeli military targeted the launcher that had fired at the jet. So they're starting to shoot at each other over there. Story coming on out from Middle East Monitor. The EU should be calling out Israeli colonialism for its violence and incitement. And apparently there's been another big stink over Palestinian school textbooks. There's a report published by Israel's Institute for Monitoring Peace and Cultural Tolerance in School Education claiming the material was more radical than previously published. And the EU has since confirmed it will be funding an assessment to be carried out by an independent and internationally recognized research institute. Okay, we got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to take some phone calls now. Ken in Texas. Aloha, Ken. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Howdy, howdy. Hey, the Bilderberg,
hey.
The Bilderberg Bozos are going to have their party this weekend in Switzerland. I spell M-O-N-T-R-E-U-X. My French ain't too good. 30 May to 2 June, this coming weekend. I got that off of this good. You know about it. Okay, good. Google Bilderberg and you can find it. And also, I guess Rince is saying Jared's going to show up.
Okay. Yeah, I would not be surprised at all.
No. Anyway, snoop around. You can find it.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. And we're going to switch over to Tony in Puerto Rico. Aloha, Tony. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. Yeah, Mike, I have a quick question. Don't you think that Thomas Jefferson could have been a little bit hypocritical for saying, I believe he penned the saying, a little bit of a revolution won't hurt, is a good thing, something like that?
Yes, he said every once in a while, a little revolution is good for the country.
Yeah, but don't you think that was a little bit hypocritical on his part, being that He was a former ambassador, secretary of state, president, governor of, I think, of Virginia. You know, that statement could be a little bit hypocritical on his part.
No, I don't think it's hypocritical. I think, in fact, he was being very realistic because he understood that the daring experiment in self-government that he'd created wasn't going to last, that eventually it would be taken over by politics and corruption. In fact, one of his writings, he actually predicted that there would have to be a revolution to basically tear it all down and start it all over again at some point in the future.
Wow, a very forward-looking man and very brave. All right, Mike,
yes.
Thank you.
All right, well, thank you, Tony. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open now. Getting on back to the international news here, a lot of people are still talking about the U.S. deal of the century, Trump's deal of the century for Israel and Palestine. And more the Palestinians are saying, no, it's all one-sided. It gives Israel everything that they want, and it takes away everything the Palestinians have. And they're looking, basically, it's an attempt to buy the Palestinians into giving up their right of return, which was guaranteed to them not only by the United Nations on the creation of Israel, but by the Israeli government itself on the creation of Israel. And now they want to renege on the deal and sort of enforce this apartheid regime that they have. And they figured that if they offer enough money to the Palestinians who've been starved by the cutoff of funding, that the Palestinians will go for it. So a lot of people are saying that this deal of the century is not going to solve the Palestine-Israel conflict. In fact, attempting to implement it is only going to make matters worse. And they're saying that the deal basically is an attempt to blame the victims, and saying that whatever misery the Palestinians are suffering from is the result of choosing war against Israel. And apparently Shin Bet, Avi Dichter, former head of Shin Bet, is saying that in 1947, the UN offered Palestine a partition plan, but they refused it and they chose to fight. And as a result, they're now stifled in this tiny piece of land, the Gaza Strip. And according to Avi, they only have themselves to blame for their predicament because they gambled against the Zionist movement and they lost. Well, from their point of view, they may not see that they've lost. They're still fighting. Okay, another article, this one from Middle East Monitor again, and it's saying that resurrecting the PLO is Palestine's best response to the deal of the century. And it's saying that Palestinian groups like Fatah, Hamas, and others should not confine themselves to merely rejecting the deal of the century. They should use their resistance to the new American-Israeli plot as an opportunity to unify their ranks. And yes, I think that could very well happen. So leaked details of the deal of the century confirm the Palestinians' worst fears. The deal is but a complete American acquiescence to the right-wing mentality that has ruled over Israel for a decade. So according to the leaked details, a demilitarized state of New Palestine will be established on territorial fragments of the West Bank, as all illegal Jewish settlements will become part of Israel. And apparently, if Palestinians refuse to accept the deal of the century, they'll be punished through economic and political isolation. Okay. Now, as a result of all of this, PLO and Fatah institutions are saying they may revoke their recognition of Israel. Now, that's always been a big thing for Israel. They want to be recognized for their right to exist, but they won't give back. They won't recognize Palestine's right to exist. And that's been a major cause of the problems, the tensions for all these years. Israel wants to be recognized for their right to exist, but they won't recognize anybody else's right to exist. So Palestine may Palestine did recognize Israel's right to exist. They got back absolutely nothing for it in terms of recognition of their right to exist. So they may revoke that now. Israel, meanwhile, is dealing with their own internal political crisis. And apparently yesterday, Israel's parliament passed a preliminary motion to dissolve itself. And this pushes the country toward an unprecedented political impasse. Less than 2 months after elections seemed to promise Netanyahu a new mandate. So if the bill receives final passage in a vote that's scheduled for tomorrow, Israel would be forced to hold new elections, sending the entire political system into disarray. Now, Netanyahu appeared to have a clear path to victory in a fourth consecutive term after the April 9th elections. His Likud party emerged tied as the largest party in the 120-seat parliament, and with his traditional allies, he appeared to control a solid 65-55 majority. But he struggled to form a government ahead of a looming deadline to do so. His prospective coalition has been thrown into crisis in recent days by former Defense Minister Avigdor Lieberman, an ally and sometimes rival of Netanyahu. And also, if the parliament dissolves itself tomorrow, that will be the end of the bill to immunize Israeli officials against prosecution while they hold office, which means Netanyahu would be looking once again at those corruption charges. Over at the Al-Aqsa Mosque for the holiday of Ramadan, there is a group of volunteer women who are basically guarding the mosque and trying to keep calm, keep corridors open for transitions to prevent noise and to ensure safety. They're obviously very concerned of intrusions by the settlers who have been intruding into Al-Aqsa Mosque. And obviously Ramadan presents a ripe target for that kind of thing. So I wish them luck and I wish them peace here. Jonathan Pollard is back in the news after serving 30 years behind bars and more than 3.5 years under severe parole restrictions. Pollard is expressing his increasing frustration with the Israeli government failure to act on his behalf. And he's now saying that, you know, when he was expelled from the embassy in 1985, he felt a sense of betrayal, and it's basically continued. Well, Jonathan, you're dealing with the government of Israel, and while you're useful to them, like when you were sending our nuclear secrets to them, yeah, they're going to be nice to you. They're going to give you money. But once you're no longer useful, what are you expecting? Gratitude? Apparently, he's asking to be repatriated to Israel, and neither the U.S. nor Israel is really very cool with that idea, if you will. Okay. Remember 9/11? I'm sure we all do. We all remember where we were when we first heard about 9/11. And apparently, there have been some new documents released by the FBI back on May 7th. And it talks more and more about a possible Israeli role in 9/11. And seems to confirm that the Israeli assets, a.k.a. the dancing Israelis who were arrested on that day, did have prior knowledge of what was going to take place. They knew what was going to happen before it happened. And in fact, some of the witnesses to the dancing Israelis had testified. They showed up and set their camera up before the first plane hit the World Trade Towers. Now, the video that the Israelis shot that day is still classified. It's never been shown. And obviously, if it shows the first impact, that is absolute ironclad proof that these Israeli assets, who were known to be Mossad agents, most of them, did know what was going to happen before it happened. So now there is a new lawsuit that is out there demanding more information about these five men arrested on 9/11. And they were in this white Chevrolet van. It had markings on it from Urban Moving Systems. And they were arrested after they were seen celebrating the World Trade Center attacks from a parking lot across the Hudson River in New Jersey. And the FBI had alerted local police departments to be on the lookout for the van. And the van was searched by a bomb-sniffing dog, yielding a positive result, a positive indicator for the presence of explosive traces. Samples were taken for testing, but the results of the tests have never been released. The men were held for 71 days. Then they were sent back to Israel without any charges, where they were greeted like heroes and put on TV, where they said their purpose there was to document the event. Now, we live in an age where we understand that we are lied and tricked into wars, whether it's Saddam's narin weapons or Assad's sarin gas or 9/11 itself. That's a reality we all have to learn to live with. And yeah, 9/11 was another false flag. It was staged to get us into this century of unending war that was being called for by the Project for the New American Century. So, alrighty, story coming on out from Breaking Defense. The Army is moving out on lasers and hypersonics. It's commentary from Lieutenant General Thurgood, who's saying that these are very cool weapons, but they're not the panacea of all things. And he's saying that, you know, the lasers, they can only hit one target. They can't hit a swarm. The same thing with hypersonics. They're very good to get to a target very quickly, but they're not necessarily good at taking out incoming rockets, artillery, mortar rounds, and small drones. He says the Army should be focusing on electrically powered weapons that cost pennies per shot instead of expensive one-use interceptors. And he says both lasers and microwaves have real limits. And he's absolutely right. If you're going to fight a war, you want a weapon that just costs a few pennies per shot, instead of these very, very expensive one-time only weapons. Now, as you know, Donald Trump spent the weekend in Japan. He had a lot of good meetings. And Trump announced at the end of it that Japan will buy 105 of the F-35 stealth warplanes. And that's basically would give Japan the largest F-35 fleet of any U.S. ally. And I believe he said it was the F-35As, which don't do the vertical takeoff and landing, but take off and land like a conventional plane. So apparently they've been working on this deal since last December with Lockheed Martin. And so Japan is buying the aircraft here. Now, the Army uses a lot of software, and they're rethinking the way that they want to buy that software. Right now, the way they do it is they contract with a software provider, and then that software provider still owns the code. And if the Army needs a change or an upgrade, they have to go back to the contractors. The Army is now thinking about acquiring the IT rights to the software so that it can do its own maintenance and upgrades as it sees fit. And I think that's probably a better way to go at the problem, because what happens if you buy software from a contractor and the contractor goes out of business, which does happen? It really does happen. So meanwhile, the Army is looking at being able to update all of their software every 2 years to stay equal with adversaries like China and Russia. And so they're going to deliver incremental updates to the tactical network every 2 years, starting in 2021. All right. Turning to our domestic politics here right now, Lindsey Graham is out there saying that the only ones who are against the release of the Russia probe details are those worried about exposure of their own behavior, their own actions. And Trump has granted Attorney General William Barr full authority to declassify all government secrets related to the Russian collusion investigation. This ran for 2 years, involved thousands of documents, scores of individuals. And Trump has said, yeah, it's all going to be out there and in the open. We'll be right back after these few words.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hand seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, secure the blessings of liberty.
Aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're going to go back to the phones here to James in North Carolina. Aloha, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon, Mike. Just a couple of things I wanted to check with you about regarding the dancing Israelis. Remember looking at something a while back and noticed that the one other thing, I don't know if you mentioned it or not, that the owner of that company, the Urban Moving Systems, fled the country the very next day after 9/11.
Yes, he did.
And has not been seen or heard of since.
No, actually, he's back in the United States.
Really?
He came back, and he's back in business. But he did leave the United States for Israel, and he stayed there for a while. In fact, because part of his business was storage units, the authorities had to come on in with bolt cutters in order to cut the locks off of some of those storage units and let people get their possessions back.
And he was not held for anything, even though he was the owner of the band. That's why they certainly managed to get away quite slick. They got back to Israel, and he wasn't charged, and the owner wasn't charged with anything. One thing I wanted to find out, I don't know if this was just something apocryphal, or it wasn't there a vehicle of some kind that had a painting or a decal or something of the Twin Towers with the plane crashing into it?
Yeah, I remember seeing a photograph of that, and I don't know that there was any actual connection between that van and 9/11. It was sort of a recurring theme at that time, and a lot of people wondered about that, but I don't know that it really amounted to anything.
Yeah, I didn't know if it was connected with the Israelis or not, if it was one of their vehicles. I imagine I don't think they would have been advertising that. That's just something I wanted to check with. Thanks.
Okay. Anything else?
No, nothing else.
All right. Well, thank you, James, for the phone call. We're going to let you go. The phone lines are open. Getting on back to our domestic politics here. White House Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders said on Sunday, the Trump administration already knows that there was a high level of corruption at the FBI ahead of Attorney General William Barr's investigation into the origins of the Russia investigation. Well, we know there was corruption at the very highest levels of the FBI, going back to the way James Comey just gave Hillary Clinton that get out of jail free card over her felony Title 18 violations. So, yeah, there's a lot of corruption at the FBI and the Department of Justice and the Department of State. And I do wish that Trump would sort of go back to his reality show and dust off his phrase, "You're fired." Because there are a lot of people in that government at the highest levels who do need to be fired. Anyway, we're going to take a break now for station identification. We'll be back after these few words.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcast.